Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good opening weekend of March Madness. The game of the tournament, really, it's going to be hard to top. Duke and UCF. UCF had Duke against the ropes late, 1 minute and 50 seconds remaining in the game. They had a four-point lead. They smoked an alley-oop, and then the rest is history. Duke ends up pulling it off. We had an interesting discussion at the start of the show because John Lopez thinks that UCF went down in a glorious manner, and he wants to romanticize it. But I think UCF choked away that game, and I think Cinderellas can choke away games, and the situation UCF was in, they absolutely choked that game, and that's why it's harder for them to swallow than a team like Iowa, who rallied from 21 down and left it all on the court. UCF can look at that and say, we should have won that game in that moment.
I'm not romanticizing anything. That wasn't even close to what I was saying. What I was saying is it was definitely, positively, absolutely not a choke. Because these guys played their butts off. I mean, they just played their butts off. They had Duke flat out. They're out playing Duke, had them flat out beat. They did what they always do to get there and what they did to get there, and that is play their style of game. They threw an alley-oop. It didn't work. They ended up not losing just because of that either. That wasn't a choke. Duke got some incredible good fortune late with the missed free throw and the offensive rebound by Barrett and the putback, et cetera. No, this was a fantastic game, and they played their asses off.
All right, this is what I equate it to. Dana Holgorsen, he's the new coach at the University of Houston, mm-hmm. right? Their first game of the season is going to be against Oklahoma.
Okay.
Oklahoma's probably going to be a top 10 team. I know they lose a lot, but Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma, that they restock every year. If U of H is up 10 points with 5 minutes remaining, and they have the ball, and Dana Holgorsen doesn't adjust his style, he decides that he's gonna throw the ball deep, and they get three straight incompletions, and then they end up losing the game. To me, U of H choked. I would say U of H choked, even though OU was favored, and in this situation, U of H would be the Cinderella. I would say that U of H choked. And that's exactly what UCF did yesterday, but even on maybe a much higher scale, because they could have dribbled out the shot clock, had 120 remaining, up four. They could have just made the simple pass and gone up six. Duke wasn't shooting well enough from three to come back.
But
there. That's a choke.
It's not, and then your Holgorsen.
I think you think that choke is like such a condescending thing.
No, no. I use the word choke. People know I use the word choke. Choke to me is when you self-implode, and it's not maybe necessarily a bad moment.
You don't think that was a self-implosion?
Hold on. It's not necessarily one bad moment. It's a series of all of a sudden, like the Oilers choked in 93. You know, that was a choke, just a series of things that happened. And there have been a number of chokes since then. Texans have had a couple of those that were absolute chokes. I'm not averse to using the word. What I'm saying is I don't think you would blame Holgorsen, using your example, for staying in character.
No, I would.
For running his offense. Because,
I would.
But how many times have you blamed someone like that for going out of character, taking the air out of the ball, and ultimately losing because of that?
I
know you have.
No, I haven't.
You never have.
I'll tell you this. 2 years ago when O'Brien did it against the Seahawks and the Patriots, mm-hmm. I wasn't really that critical of it. I know it was weird that he did it twice in a row, but I understood that because I think it makes more sense to kill the clock there. The defense is what let him down.
But you're not ignorant to the fact that a lot of people say, don't all of a sudden be something you're not, because you don't know how to do that.
That's dumb, though, man. Like, I mean, like,
That's not what you are.
It doesn't matter. You got to change what you are to win the game. Like, that's like what Keeping It Real goes wrong, the old Chappelle Show skit. Just because you're an aggressive team, there are times when you need to tap the brakes, and that's what UCF should have done. And the other thing to add to why I think it's a choke, they played as good as they could have played for 38 minutes.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, if UCF and Duke play, the game's probably a little bit different. You play, when you waste an effort like that because you have a mental lapse, it's a choke. And I'm not saying they didn't play good.
No,
I'm not
no,
saying they shouldn't be proud of themselves, but they choked.
No, it absolutely was not. Absolutely, positively was not. It was they did what they were doing to get to that position, and it didn't work. And on top of that, they didn't choke. You know, for Duke getting that bounce off the free throw and getting the bucket. That wasn't a choke.
I think that could add to it, too. I mean,
well, how? What did they not block out? I mean, they were blocking out. Duke made a play.
You, You got to block out and get the rebound.
Well, of course they wanted to get the rebound.
Choke City.
That's not getting that rebound by a guy jumping over your back is not choking.
Choke City. March Madness down to 16. By the way, only two teams advance that weren't top four seeds. That would be Oregon and Auburn. Auburn all over Kansas on Saturday night. Oregon, mm-hmm. Of all the teams that we've watched, you like watching Houston play?
I love watching Oregon.
Is just... They look like a stud AAU high school team. They are just letting it fly. I think that's the team that I'm enjoying playing the most. And I'll tell you what, I'll just go ahead and go on record right now. They're beating Virginia on Thursday.
Oregon could.
We saw Virginia lose to a 16 seed last year, and they were down 14 this year. They handled Oklahoma yesterday. Oregon's beating Virginia on Thursday. You can write that one. You can write that one in Sharpie.
You could well. I mean, they're playing some really good ball. The teams that I'm loving watching right now are Oregon. Freaking love watching U of H, and Texas Tech's a lot of fun to watch.
Texas Tech's good, and the crowd.
Oh, and Zaga.
Texas Tech was
I like
loud.
Gonzaga. I thought they would choke. Speaking of chokes,
this is a different. They look like the best team.
Yeah,
Gonzaga. Did you see that play with Gonzaga where? Speaking of alley oops. They threw up an alley-oop.
Mm-hmm.
The guy missed the dunk, and then the guy trailed and still punched it.
Yeah.
You know how
hard that is?
I don't
think
people understand. Like, when you're hooping, as soon as an alley-oop goes up, you're watching.
You kind of stop. Yeah.
For him to have finished that play, that says a lot about the coach, and it says a lot about his effort. Biggest news yesterday, though, had nothing to do with college basketball. It had to do with the NFL. And Rob Gronkowski, Patriots tight end, arguably the best tight end of all time, he's retiring after 9 seasons at just the age of 29. Mike Meltzer mentioned these stats, and I think this is just fascinating. Gronkowski's played 16 career playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the equivalent of an NFL season. Could I interest you in the stats Gronk has in those 16 games?
Yes, please.
81 catches, 1,100 yards, and 12 touchdowns in his playoff game. In his playoff games. That's an first-team All-Pro season for a tight end, and he's done it in 16 playoff games.
I see your incredible statistic and raise you with this one. Gronk, on a 16-game basis, you know, averaging over 16 games his career, 72 catches, 1,094 yards, and 11 touchdowns every year, you know, for the 16 games. Here's another one. This is just a little interesting factoid, if you will. He played 9 years, arguably the greatest tight end in history. Certainly one of the best football players in history, as we were talking about earlier, just because of his blocking that is otherworldly. But how about this? Tom Brady was entering his 11th season. His 11th season when they drafted Gronk.
Gosh.
Brady was going into his 11th year. They drafted Gronk. He had a Hall of Fame career, and Brady's still playing.
Unbelievable. And you know who the starting tight end is right now for the New England Patriots? Steven Anderson. Former Houston Texan Steven Anderson in his 36 receptions.
Have you tweeted his mom yet about it?
I have not. Mm-hmm. I actually talked to him about his mom. Steven Anderson last year before he got cut, I predicted he would get cut, and his mom got a little bit testy with me. And I actually told him about it at the Super Bowl. I was like, yeah, your mom got pretty testy with me about the thing, and he was like, oh, my mom, she's my biggest fan, but man, she gets a little bit loud on social media. But you got to think that's going to change. And we're talking about Hawkinson from Iowa and the other kid from Iowa. You got to think
you know they're going to end up with one of those guys.
If they get Hawkinson, I'm going to be disgusted because I think Hawkinson's going to be the best player in this draft. And if he goes to the Patriots and they just pick up where they left off, just unbelievable. Just incredibly unbelievable. Texans sign left tackle Matt Khalil, 1-year deal, former Carolina Panther, former first-round pick. Wade Smith has a nice write-up on him at sportsradio610.com. To summarize, basically his career has been going downhill since his rookie season when he was a Pro Bowler. He got signed to a hefty contract, didn't live up to that. Carolina cut him because they needed to clear $1 million in roster space. And this is just a guy that low risk, high reward is what Wade calls it. I think my thing and why I like this, why I initially like this signing, is I just want competition in camp. I want 5 position battles going on in the offensive line. That's what I want. I don't want any position guaranteed. I want 5 position battles on that offensive line. The more bodies, the better. And if it's a guy on a 1-year prove-it deal trying to stay in the league, more power to him. Maybe he can reach his form that he had 8 years ago, but call me skeptical. I just don't see that happening.
He's the NCAA bracket of free agent signings. And because you can say that, and you might be right. Some others can say, and a lot of people have said, questioned, man, him a lot. Can't stay healthy, has had diminishing returns on his play for the last 3 years. Had one healthy season in the last 3 years. So you can say what you want about him, but nobody really knows. He's a flyer. He's the epitome of taking a flyer on this team, and that's not the first one that Brian Gain has done, and we'll get to that in about 17 minutes as well, what Brian Gain is doing. But just on him alone, I don't even know if he's going to start, to be honest.
He
might not make the team.
I mean, there's no guarantee on that.
Yeah, but you're getting a guy that, you know, fits that mold of, well, he's got a lot to prove, and he's got to get it in gear, or else he's going to be out on the street.
And if you just look at the moves that we praised, like after the season was over in the NFL, the Patriots trading for Trent Brown from the San Francisco 49ers, and then, you know, a lot of people here like the Texans signing the Honey Badger to a one-year deal. Those guys weren't really even available at this point.
Yeah.
So the one thing that we do need to look at is as guys get cut, a lot of times there's some surprising cuts.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Texans are going to be in the mix. So just because they haven't made a move now doesn't mean that they're not going to. But Matt Khalil, I guess I'll just cross my fingers and hope.
That's what I'm saying. That was my reference with the tournament. You might you might act like an expert about Iona. You know, you might act like an expert, about any of these other teams that are kind of like nobody knows who they are. But you really don't know until he gets out there.
Justin Verlander gets an extension over the weekend. 2 years, $66 million. Going to keep him with the Astros through 2021. We talk about Tom Brady and being ageless. Justin Verlander's, he's not quite Nolan Ryan, but, I mean, he's
on the path.
The time. I mean, let's put it this way. He's as good as he's ever been. He was second in Cy Young last year. Nolan Ryan wasn't an elite pitcher on the back end of his career. He was good. He was serviceable.
Yeah, but he was elite into his 40s. I mean, he had a no-hitter in his 40s.
Was he as good as Verlander is?
At this age, he was.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I don't think he was a top. I don't think he was like a top.
No.
When Cy Young candidate,
because
like
Verlander's what, 35?
A little bit older, sir.
What is he? 30?
Look it up, John.
Seven?
Look it up, John.
I can't remember. You can tell me.
No, I don't know. I don't know his exact age. I know he wants to play till he's 40.
Yeah. No, he's 36. I said 35.
Said a little bit older.
God's sake.
Said a little bit older. But Nolan played till he was 46.
That's yeah, but what I'm saying, at 35, 36, Nolan was as good or better in some regards.
You think Nolan at 36 was top three in Cy Young voting? I'm willing to bet you he wasn't.
I know he had more than one no hitter after that.
Yeah, he had. I think he had like four with the Rangers. He definitely did his thing. But Justin Verlander, man, that's unbelievable. 3 year window. Alex Bregman, of course, last. I'm laughing because I can't believe how much of a hater you are in this Bregman thing. Alex Bregman.
I'm not a hater.
It's 6 year, $100 million extension. And to show his gratitude and show his appreciation, he released a letter to the people of Houston. I love this letter. One of us hates it. Here's the letter.
Dear Houston, thank you. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for inspiring me. Ever since I was a kid, I've dreamt about playing in the big leagues. And because of you, Houston, that dream has become a reality. Baseball is more than a game to me. It is an obsession. And I know this city and I share that same passion. So I promise you, Houston, that every time I step on that field, every time I step in that box, that I'll bring the heartbeat of an entire city with me. So thank you, Houston. Thank you for making this home.
Okay, I'll go ahead and say this with Nolan Ryan. I forget how old SOB was.
At the age of 40, he led the league in ERA and strikeouts.
Yeah, and at the age of 36, I was wrong. I mean, I was wrong. He finished top 10 in Cy Young voting at the age of 36. One, two, three times. Also got some MVP votes. So, I mean, I was at Nolan Ryan's final game when he faced George Brett. You still can't really grasp that he was 46 years old when he quit. So I was completely
wrong
about
that. You
can't
grasp how intimidating he was
on
the mound.
I mean, just to put in perspective how old he was, he was at age 36, Nolan Ryan, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He was 6 years away from even being a Texas Ranger at age 36.
That's right.
Like, I think we look at this 36, we're like, okay, yeah, that was when he was with the Rangers. He was 6 years, he was half a freaking decade away from being there. So Sorry for the disrespect, Nolan Ryan. No, seriously, good Lord.
He was something special. And on the Bregman thing, look, you're not going to turn this around on me and how I feel about about Bregman, because I feel like he's my favorite player on the team. I mean, he's my favorite player on the team. I was at the forefront of that. You can attest to it because you were giving me a hard time at the time. All I'm saying is this is overproduced. It's not the Alex Bregman I know. I'll put it that way. Alex Bregman I know would stand there and just talk to the camera like, you know, like he poses in the dugout. He's the one that started all that stuff.
He wanted to put some effort into his letter to Houston.
But again, that's fine, and I appreciate the effort, but it's a little bit too much.
Have you had any old man injuries?
Oh, lower back is always bothering me, but that's about it.
You and Josh Reddick have something in common, because Josh Reddick over the weekend, Astros right fielder.
I make noises when I sit down.
Yeah, but have you suffered back stiffness while putting your socks on? Because that's what happened to Josh Reddick, and Josh Reddick had to miss the game over the weekend because when he was putting his socks on, he had some back stiffness.
I mean, sometimes it hurts, but I don't think I've ever suffered a major injury because of that by any stretch.
Johnny Manziel, he made his AAF debut yesterday. I got to tell you, John, amidst all this madness, and I've enjoyed the hell out of this tournament, I had to click over and watch me some Johnny football.
You weren't alone.
The smartest thing that I've seen a league do in a long time, they mic'd up Johnny football, and it didn't take long for me to revisit the magic that is Johnny football. Here's a little taste of him being mic'd up yesterday.
It looks like Jake Payne as he came through, causing him to step up and move.
You want to start that way? We can go. I'll turn up on your bitch ass.
That's our guy. He is must-see TV in every sense of the word.
I love him. I've always loved Johnny football.
I was so locked in. I'm just telling you how much I like U of H this year. I was so locked in. Figure, you were locked in. We were talking about this before the show. I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, oh, got to go to the NFL Network real quick. Got to see what he's up to. It was incredible.
Watching Johnny, I saw him in person two times. Mm-hmm. He's one of the four best college football players that I've ever watched in person.
He's up there. Yeah, he's definitely up there.
And he's just got that charisma to him. Even with all of his what do you want to call it? Past mistakes, past adversity, he's still got that buzz. I mean, he's probably going to be like 50 with a beer belly, like playing some like pickup football, and I'm still going to be rooting for Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I mean, like that last night, and he actually flashed a couple of things. You could tell he wasn't in top shape, but he flashed a couple of Johnny Manziel kind of things.
He was at the Rockets game, the loss against Memphis. Actually, I think he went out to eat with Chandler Parsons afterwards. You think dinners are the same that they
maybe that's
were?
Why he looked out of breath.
Speaking of which, you know Johnny Manziel, his marriage. I know this is going to shock you. Mm-hmm. He married an Instagram model a couple years ago.
That doesn't shock me.
Well, they're heading towards a divorce, and she took to social media, of course, because she is an Instagram model. And she was interacting back and forth with fans, and this is what she had to say. Her name is Bree Tiesi. This is the one who said she ran basically 7 straight 4-minute miles on it when she lied on her marathon time. This is what she said about Johnny Football. Quote, maybe you should wonder why I would leave him instead of worrying about, quote, money. Lucky for him, I don't air out personal information. And lucky for you, you are a behind-the-screen lowlife.
What is she trying to say?
I guess she's saying she added to it because she went back and forth, and she asked the user again. You've been married? ? You've been betrayed? ? I don't do betrayal for a person I was devoted to. Period. Vows were broken. F money, and F you, and every other loser on here.
Yikes. So she didn't. She was shocked that Johnny Manziel had a wandering eye, is what she's saying. Shocked, I tell you. Shocked.
How much do you think him and Chandler Parsons have slung it around?
Dude,
I've heard stories.
This weekend?
I don't know, man. Johnny, you think Johnny subscribes to the no sex before playing?
Bad for the legs.
Bad for the legs. You don't think Johnny subscribes to that? I know Chandler doesn't.
I think he's probably doing it at halftime in some games.
I know Chandler doesn't.
Yeah.
Halftime at College Station?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, why not?
Love me some Johnny football. It was a good weekend in sports, to say the very least. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Sports Radio 610, Figgy Fig, keeping us on the air. John Lopez is developing a strange man crush on Brian Gain. We'll get into that crush next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.